Do one extra.
Do one extra. That's a good principle. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that.
Okay,
if this whole podcast was like teaching me to do one more extra, I would like, oh, I think that'd be valuable enough. But you've got 14 of them here.
Number 8, learn when to cut your losses.
Welcome to Late Nights with Trav and Lowe's. My name is Trav, and to my right is my best friend, my bestie, my best frizzy,
Lowe's.
And this is a show where, you know, we have these discussions late at night. If we're quiet, you can hear the crickets cricketing. You can hear the cats meow meowing. And Lowe's has prepared some content for us tonight, and I really don't know what it's about. He sent me a snippet. It was something about, like, I should stop my sleeping habit. But Lowe's, take it away, man. What we got going on tonight?
So in our lives, we have moments where we're busy, moments when we are busier, and moments when we are the busiest.
It sounds like you never rest.
Yeah. So for the reason I'm saying that is that...
So I'm either busy, busier, or busiest.
And the reason I'm saying that is that for the foreseeable future, I will be in one of my most busiest seasons.
Because you're just having a baby soon.
Right. My wife and I...
5 weeks away.
...are having our third child.
My goodness.
He's joining the family, and I'm tripling... Here's another thing. I'm tripling my efforts at work.
Tripling your efforts. I mean, is that a self-initiated goal?
Self-initiated goal.
Where's the triple come from? Like, where's that number originate? Why not double?
I had it as a double.
Okay, but then you just loased it up.
In reality, I'm tripling when I look back at what I'm doing.
I love it.
Right, so...
You're like, I wanted to double, but I'm loose, so I tripled it. All right.
So I'm tripling my efforts at work. And there's things that I own and that I have influence over, and I want to have more of an impact.
Like projects and stuff at work. Mm-hmm,
and more influence, right? I think I can have additive moments there.
Okay.
Okay. Also, I am doubling down on my maker efforts outside of work.
Ooh, I don't even know
now
anything what you're talking about.
Right, now maker is a choice word here.
Yeah.
Okay. Because maker, the word, it encompasses anything I make.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast,
mm-hmm.
art,
mm-hmm.
making a better self,
mm-hmm.
making a safe home, and making lasting relationships.
Oh, snap.
Making better choices, etc.
Dude, I love it when people take art into, like, being a good person. Like actually, my art is to have a good relationship with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's cool. That's cool stuff.
Right.
I get into it.
So I'm doubling down on... maker efforts outside of work.
I noticed that you're tripling on work and doubling at home life.
Mm-hmm. Some other thoughts on a maker. A maker is first and foremost a maker, and then a sharer.
Okay. This is interesting because we've been talking a lot about sharing.
Right. And what we've been talking about is that we live in a society that is great at sharing and reposting.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can call ourselves the repost society.
So that is it. Are you talking about reposting other people's work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I simply want to make more than I share.
You
want to
be an OC.
Original creator.
Mm-hmm.
More than original poster.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I'm a busier person now because I'm tripling down my efforts at work and doubling down maker efforts outside.
Right. And you started this episode by saying we're all busy, busier, or busiest.
Mm-hmm.
And you're up in the game. So how do you deal with all that?
How do you manage that?
How do you manage all this business?
So how do we best manage busyness such that we are successful with our endeavors and focus?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to talk to the listeners about today.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I've had my moments recently of success, focus, and productivity, yet those moments were mostly fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's a small list of the feelings that I have been overwhelmingly present. Discouragement, disappointment, confusion, frustration, lack of control, lack of focus, feeling like a waste of time or that I'm wasting time,
yeah,
etc. Right?
Right, right.
So what did I do?
Now, are these mostly at home or most at work?
So
both
because a year and a half ago I tried to separate work and outside of work.
Okay.
It you can. It's one thing.
Interesting.
It's life.
Interesting.
Right.
You know, I get asked this question a lot. How do you do work-life balance? You know what I tell them?
What do you tell them?
I say, I don't believe in work-life balance. There is no such thing.
There's life.
There's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, imagine a tightrope and you're walking along and on your left is work and on your right is home life. You can try to balance. Like, is that going to be a good productivity for anybody?
Hmm.
That means like when you're at home, you're thinking about work, and when you're, you know what I do?
What do you do?
Jump straight off onto one side. Go all in.
All in. We talk about all in later.
Good. I want to go all in.
So this is what I did. I was feeling this way. Felt like I wasn't getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took some time to ponder the following question. What are the moments in my life when I feel in control, productive, successful, focused, happy, eager, and motivated? And what is the common denominator for these moments? Okay, so here's the answer. I was set up for success in all of those moments. The interesting thing to note is that I took the time to set myself up for success.
You're talking about preparation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm with you.
Right now, I'm talking about preparation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You say you set yourself up for success. It's not just like randomly the situation, like the stars aligned and some success happened. You said, I set myself up. In other words, I thought about what I was going to do first and prepared myself.
Mm-hmm. So that I'd be successful and have the opposite feelings.
Right.
So I compiled a list of my greatest hits.
Oh.
This is a list of moments in my life where I was successful in maximizing productivity.
I think we should have music in the background. Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. This is a list of habits to protect as I take another stab at developing and nourishing them.
Okay.
So do you want to know what they all have in common, this list of my greatest hits?
What's that?
That they're all habits that you can and should exercise daily. Okay. These are things that I've done in some combination, one or the other, daily. And there have been rare moments when I've done them all daily.
Uh-huh.
And those are the moments when I've been most successful at maximizing my productivity. Okay. So, there's 14 of them. Number one, doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it now. Decide it now. Delegate it now. Enjoy it now. Finish it now. Start it now. Whatever it is, get it done now.
Do it now.
Do it now.
There's definitely some value in looking at a task and deciding if it's actionable right now or if it needs to be scheduled into your day later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like not saying like, oh, I don't feel like it. Like if you don't do it now, make some room. I mean, maybe I'm stepping on one of
your
points.
No, you're okay.
You're okay. But like do it now. And if you can't do it now, like when are you going to do it? Decide when you're going to do it. So that way, when that time comes, you know what you're doing.
So you're doing something. You're deciding to do it
that's
now.
That's an action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an action. Number two, monthly, weekly, and daily planning.
Okay.
So right now I have a Trello board that I call the productivity planner.
Yep.
I shared this with you.
Yeah, I saw it. It looked really good.
And in it, I have a monthly, weekly, and daily planning.
Can you plan too much? Can you get up in the thick of thin things?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I have arbitrarily monthly, weekly, and daily.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's only weekly and daily.
So, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I think there may be some common themes that I want to accomplish during the month. Maybe they're like...
When I was looking at your Trello board, I was really interested in actually in the weekly.
The weekly, I love the weekly.
Because that's broad enough. A week is good because it's broad enough to where you can think of like not who's demanding my time, but what needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also think, okay, like when are each of these, you know, I have a meeting this day and so therefore this thing needs to get done before then.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. I think weekly would be a good measure for me personally.
Right. And so Sunday night, I plan my week.
Uh-huh.
And I have three categories. Five of the most important things I want to accomplish that week.
Yeah. It's a list.
It's a list. Secondary tasks that I want to accomplish and other tasks, additional tasks, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the goal is to accomplish the five most important tasks.
If you can get those five done, it's a good week. It's a good week.
It's a good week. It's I'm satisfied with the week.
Right. And then you can move on. You can get one or two of those other.
Everything else is bonus.
Right. It's bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number three, relentless focus on one task at a time. Multitasking is a lie. It is not possible.
Right.
Sure, one needs to be flexible and able to shift your attention from one thing to another. But the moments where I've been most successful are the moments when I'm able to block out distractions, temptations, and focus on one thing at a time.
What kind of things distract you?
Everything distracts you. So if I'm focusing on something, it's a thought to check Facebook, play a game, a text message, a tap on the shoulder, itchy thigh, gotta pee, right? Things that cause your mind to wander, not focus.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
So things like that.
I was wondering if you had like there's this one like kind of bad habit that I do, because I guess what I'm trying to say is like if you're doing some thought work or something, you get to a point where you're like blocked, and then you go, what do I do? End up just go look at your Facebook tab or something. You know what I mean? I was just wondering if you had something like that you could like point at and say that's the nemesis or something.
My nemesis is that the games I play are on my laptop and I work on my laptop.
Video games?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So it's easy to, I'm going to take a break and play a 20-minute game. Uh-huh. 20 minutes turns into an hour and 40 minutes. There's moments of success when I'm able to block out distractions and temptations, mm-hmm. right? And focus one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that by focusing on something, you're following this most important thing until it is done. Hand it off. Socialized, published, shared, hung on a wall, sold, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So getting it done is not, I'm finished designing it. It's like 80%, 90%.
Right.
It's seeing it through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm focusing, I use a technique called Pomodoro, and I'll link the technique in the show notes. In a nutshell, the idea is simple. You focus for 20 to 25 minutes on a task, take a 5-minute break, and then refocus on the same task until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I'll link it on the show notes. All right, number four, starting with a task that will free up the most energy.
Well, that's interesting. So, would you go to work and schedule a long meeting right in the morning?
No, I don't.
How will you feel it, 11 o'clock when that meeting is done? You know what I mean? That's interesting how to budget your tasks for energy instead of for, I can fit this in this slot here.
Mm-hmm. So, for some, freeing up mental energy may look like doing the scariest thing first, longest meeting, maybe the hardest thing or the easiest thing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this is how I measure what I work on first.
Energy in terms, I think that was interesting you said the scariest thing, because energy in terms of apprehension, what are you avoiding?
That's right.
Oh, shoot. You know, what are you avoiding? Does that give you energy if you just get it done?
Mm-hmm.
You probably feel a little bit of a weight off your shoulder, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more energized.
Or what you've been putting off?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap.
It's another one.
Okay, listener, how about this question? How would you feel if the thing you were avoiding was done?
Energized.
Do that stuff.
Do that stuff. This is how I measure what I work on first.
What?
I ask myself this question. If this was the only thing you did today, would you be satisfied?
Ooh. Okay.
And what I'm going for is satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On a scale from 1 to 10, that looks like a number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
Right. Would I be satisfied with my day?
Uh-huh. If there's only one thing you got done?
Yeah. The most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bland. I could have done better.
Yeah.
Could have done worse. Yet I'm satisfied with the day because I moved the needle forward.
Right.
Right. Doing this will free up the most mental energy to move on to your next task.
Yes.
Number 5. We talked about distractions earlier. This one's about managing distractions and delaying them.
Uh-huh.
Okay? This is what it looks like. When I am on my game, I have a running list of distractions on a piece of paper on my desk.
A running list of distractions?
Yeah.
You'll write down your distractions?
Mm-hmm. Here's why. At any point when I am distracted, tempted towards distraction, or feeling a lack of energy, I jot it down.
Uh-huh.
Okay? This is an exercise that I get better at. Managing distractions when they enter my mind.
Okay.
Right. To work this muscle, I start by jotting everything down.
Right.
Right.
So you just have a list of
distractions. Every distraction that
I'm so curious. What does that list look like?
So it looks like this. Thought about what I was gonna eat for lunch. Jot it down.
Oh, interesting.
Right. I gotta pee. Jot it down. Or Brittany's been texting me. Jot down the text. Or my mother-in-law texted me.
Uh huh.
Right. Things of this nature are
what happened.
Just any distraction that stopped me from focusing in that 20, 25, 30 minutes that I'm focusing on a task.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I have a running list,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I let the list get to the point where I think it'll take about 25 minutes to manage said distractions. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I'll then focus on the distractions for 25 minutes and clear the list.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I go answer all the texts, go decide on where you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go pee or whatever it is that you want to do. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number six. Late nights in the cantina.
Yeah, it's a rowdy night tonight.
It's a rowdy night.
Yeah.
It's good.
Number six.
Yeah, it's color to our podcast. Number six, say no to the things that create little value and do not get you closer to your goals.
So these are like good things, not great things. Mm-hmm. Like the difference between good and great. Mm-hmm. Like, is it good to, you know, write a nice email to somebody, or is it good to do the work you have to do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The goal is to create more value, and you do this by growing your ability to say no to everything in your life that doesn't move you towards your goals. Mm. Okay.
Sometimes it's not very obvious what does and what doesn't.
Mm. Yeah. And so here's a way to look at it in terms of people and activities.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't say yes to low value people and activities.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
You just go, sorry, you're low value.
You don't have to tell them
no,
that.
No, but like, how do you determine a low value person?
You determine it by interacting with them and having time.
Like if they are a positivity suck?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Just eliminate them. Why?
Low value person. That's interesting.
Right, if the goal is to be...
Yeah, I mean, you want to surround yourself with positive influences that will help you get what you need to get done.
Right. So I want to talk about... fanatically guarding your time so you can exponentially advance towards your goals.
Right. One of my favorite vines that I ever did was something along the lines of decide on one thing you're going to do today and ignore everything and everyone until that one thing is accomplished.
The most important task.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number seven, do one extra.
Oh, sniz.
This one's fun. Make one extra call, send out one more email, design one more component, write one more line of code, one more sentence, et cetera.
You know, all those things, I was like, yeah. And then you're like, design one more component. I was like, yep. Because what I've been like noticing lately is that people, so I've been focusing on getting myself just to design more, just push out more versions, right? And I discussed this a little bit, that I had like this document that, and I think when I was listening to the podcast today, actually, it was like 107. You know how many that ended up at?
No.
It's right now it's at 140 something.
Okay.
And what I love about that is that we can look at people's success. We can look at like the final product and say like, oh, that's good. But like, if you can show your work, it's like way more impressive.
It is.
And like, so I leave the numbers on it when I show people the numbers.
That's
like,
good.
I'm like, this is version 140. They're like, what?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Number 147.
Yeah. It's just 147. So
that's really good.
Yeah. So doing one more is a good principle because like sometimes you think you got it, but just give it one more go. See what happens.
Right, because when you add all these one extras,
you said send one more email, and you know where my mind went with that was to revise one more time before you send that one email.
Revise one more time.
Like that's I do this all the time. I'm like, ooh, there's my answer. About tap, send, and then I read it. I'm like, whoa, come on, why did I misspell everything and make myself look like a jag? But like, why not like just like think about what I'm saying. How could I be shorter with this? How could I be more concise? How could I save the person who's, you know, receiving it a little bit of effort trying to decipher what I want, you know, revise a little bit more. Why not?
Yeah.
Read it out loud one more time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do one extra.
That's a good principle. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that.
Okay,
if this whole podcast was like teaching me to do one more extra, I think that would be valuable enough, but you've got 14 of them here.
Number eight, learn when to cut your losses.
Interesting.
This is interesting because if you're not getting what you need from a person, a strategy, a partnership, or a hobby, you need to make the hard decision early so you can free up your time to find something that will give you what you need.
This is, what did we say a few minutes ago? The person is a...
Low value.
Low value. These are the kind of people that are low value. They're not helping you reach your goals. Mm-hmm. They're not enriching your life experience.
Right. And what's interesting is that paralleled with the next one, number 9, they in a way contradict each other.
Okay.
Right. Number 8's learning when to cut your losses.
Uh-huh.
Number 9 is a relentless dedication to your goals. So when things get tough, work through it, have grit and perseverance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's this interesting concept. Seth Godin wrote a book about it called The Dip.
Okay.
Or The Dip. And he was saying that like there's this point where it's smart to, you know, to cut your losses and go the other way. And then also there's another point where it's smart to have grit and just work through it. Mm-hmm. But the hard thing is knowing the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because not one or the other is always the best choice. Mm-hmm. So discernment is a big principle right between the two of those.
Mm-hmm.
It sits between the two of those and like will dictate the success of it. If you don't stick to it just because that's the kind of person you are.
That's
or
right.
whatever.
Yeah, but don't stick to something or cut something out of principle.
Uh-huh.
Every moment is a new decision, a new opportunity. Yeah.
You have to look at it and judge it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be lazy. Don't cut it because you're lazy.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. When you cut something, you can feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you stick around because of guilt or shame or embarrassment. Or maybe you even cut something because of guilt or shame and embarrassment.
That's right.
It's interesting, huh?
It's interesting.
Like, there's no rule.
No.
You have to use your judgment.
Use your judgment. Learn yourself. Yeah. Learn what brings you value, what doesn't.
Right.
Learn when it's...
Los has given us principles here. That doesn't mean that, like, these are absolute rules.
Right. These are principles that, as I said in the beginning, that I've used in some combination or other daily.
Interesting.
Right? And so this is a compilation of the greatest hits of, like, the moments where I felt like I was the greatest.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to double down on these efforts.
Right, right.
So that I can be great.
And just making this list of them and rationalizing them and thinking them out, I'm sure is really helpful for you.
It's been helpful.
Yeah.
Number 10, double down on what is working.
Uh-huh.
I've heard...
Not triple down.
No, not triple down. I've heard this before. If it ain't broke, then why fix it?
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you to do this. If it's working, then double down your efforts on what is working.
What is working.
The outcome is better than if you let it alone.
Dude, when we had Reagan Kim in the show, he mentioned something like that's one of like the rallying cries at Facebook that he's kind of like been thinking about lately.
Mm.
And he said that like focus on your strengths.
Mm.
And I've been like that was months and months ago, but yeah. I keep thinking about it. Focus on your strengths. Like we have in our culture of self-improvement this grand idea that you need to learn a new skill.
Mm-hmm.
You need to become, you need to change what you're doing. You know, you need to be different.
Mm-hmm.
But Reagan has kind of inspired in me this idea that like, if you're good at something, get better at that one thing, like double down on your strength.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just really great advice.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
If you're a painter, doesn't mean you need to learn architecture. Like, learn how to paint really good. That's what you should
do. That's what you should do.
And it's so obvious when you say painter, but like for me, I'm like, why don't I learn calligraphy? I'm like, why should I? Like, no, get better at layouts, get better at UX, you know?
Get better at communicating, socializing your designs.
Oh my gosh, all that stuff.
All that.
I know what I have to do, I just don't want to do it.
Number 11. We've talked about this before.
Number
11, having integrity.
Uh-huh.
Have integrity. This one is simple. Do what you say you're going to do. Be on time, finish what you said you would do, and do it all without excuses, and even when you don't feel like it, because the more you practice it, the better you get at it.
It's integrity.
It's integrity. And integrity attracts the best people.
It does. Having integrity is an advantage over so many people, because so many people are just without, you know? And when you meet somebody that has it, you see it.
You see it.
It shines.
Shines.
It's really obvious.
Number 12, maximize your learnings from your own life.
Mm-hmm. Make lists.
Make lists.
Like Lowe's.
Like Lowe's, no. After a project, an event, a meeting, a thought, an interaction, ask yourself the following questions. what went well, what would I do different next time, and what are the most important lessons for me to take from this experience?
That's interesting. Maybe like have that tattooed on your arm so that you can just like reference it quickly after you have an encounter, you know.
What would I do different next time?
Yeah. You know what I mean? And when I say tattooed on your arm, I'm being facetious, but honestly, like write that down in a note card or like in a, you know, something to where you can just pull it out and look at it and just like have a quick mental review.
Mm.
That would be a really great habit to have.
Yeah. If you do this, I think you'll get better each day.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, improvement comes from judging performance against a standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 13. This is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
End your day by identifying the most important task for tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
At the end of the day, make notes for how the day went. Measure your productivity and note what happened that caused your level of productivity for that day.
Do you do this like in your underwear before you jump in the bed? Or do you do this like before you leave home, leave work or something? Like, I want to picture you writing down in your journal, like, with your socks still on and nothing else.
So, this is,
yes, I do picture you with only socks on.
Yes. What color are my socks?
They're white with blue toes.
Blue toes.
You know, the ones. Well, blue square on the heel.
Oh, those are funny. So in Trello, I have this productivity planner.
Yeah.
And in my day, I leave room for notes. And
you have a card for each day.
Right. And a productivity score from 1 to 10.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, either on my train ride home, at work, or before going to sleep, I pull out my day, get ready to plan tomorrow, find out what I got, what I didn't get done, or what's next, and make a new card with my most important task for tomorrow.
I think something like that requires like ritual, like habit.
Mm-hmm. Having a running score.
That's what socks are about.
That's right. Rituals. No.
Rituals.
Having a running score of your own productivity score over time, and then notes that accompany it.
You can map it out.
You can be like, oh, these are the things that are going well. I had a 10. What happened? Oh, I woke up at 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah. That was a good day.
That was a good day. I should probably wake up early more.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's interesting. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's like measuring performance against a standard, you know? Giving yourself that score is a really great way to do that.
And here's the last one.
Oh.
Number 14.
Okay.
You know when you were talking about the tightrope?
Yes.
And on the left is work, on the right is personal life. This principle is wherever you are, be there.
Oh.
Jinxie.
Yeah, be there. That's right, man. I was getting into this habit where I would just like have my phone in my pocket and then like I'm telling the kids to brush their teeth and I would just look at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
I have this glorious, wonderful, magical moment where I'm telling a kid to brush their teeth. How often do I get to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, when I get home, I go take off your shoes, kind of like just like wind down from the bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
Now I take off my phone and put it in my backpack.
And you're there.
Now I'm there. Now I can be there. Get away from your distraction.
Mm-hmm. This habit gets harder every day because attention seekers are everywhere. Like your phone.
So I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking like, what do I want people to think of when they think of me?
Mm-hmm.
When my kid gets like, you know, older, do I want her to think of like, yeah, my dad was cool. He told fun jokes, but he was always on his phone.
Mm.
Do I want her to think that? I want her to tell that to her, like her friend or her boyfriend or, you know, when she gets older. Do I want somebody in the office to say, oh, Travis is cool, but when you're talking to him, he's always like just typing. You know, like he does good work, but he's like kind of always late for a meeting and he has his headphones in all the time. So it's just like, yeah, just like if wherever you are, be there. I really need to work on that, but I think that's just really great advice.
So when you're feeling distracted or your mind wanders and you're feeling a deficit in your attention, notice it and bring your attention back to where you are and what matters most in the moment.
Mm, mm-hmm,
so that's all I got. 14 tips.
I wish you had more.
No, so these are 14 to hopefully set you up for success.
No, these are good. I mean, and like, you know, what you got to do with these 14 tips here, and Los will have them in the show notes, is you just got to like
take what you can use, mm-hmm. and don't worry that there's 14, you have to apply them all right now. No. We talked through them, just give you a sample of what Lois has experienced success with, and baby step it, mm-hmm. you know, choose one that's easy for you. Mm-hmm. Focus on your strengths, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was another episode of Late Nights with Lois and Trav.
Oh, you reversed it. That's good. Because you're hosting.
Because I'm hosting.
All right. Hey, listen, guys. We really appreciate you listening to the show. Lois, thanks for making that great content for us. Mm-hmm. I know it's not easy, man. Because I talked to you earlier today, like maybe, what time is it now? Around 10 o'clock now? Mm-hmm. It was like around 6. So 4 hours ago, you had nothing. Mm-hmm. And they just came out with like this, like, you know, really great presentation. That's awesome. I think that's a skill in and of itself. I think next podcast you should talk about how to make something up in 4 hours.
How to pull a rabbit out of your hat.
Yeah. So listen, guys, if you want to talk to Trav and Lois, you can email us at travandlois@gmail.com. And something that people have been doing lately that's been really fun is that they just pull out their phone and record a voicemail mm-hmm. on like their, you know, voice recorder machine on their phone mm-hmm. and just send us an MP3, and if it's cool and if it makes sense, we put it on the show, and sometimes we have those kind of like listener questions on the show, which is really nice. And so a few people have done that and just kind of raised the bar for what a listener question is mm. and now when we get like, you know, regular text emails, we're like, where's the MP3? You can also contact us on Twitter. We have a Twitter handle is @TravandLois, and we have a website it's TravandLois.com, where we have this episode and every episode, you know, our whole archive you, mm-hmm. where you listen to. Now, you can also find us on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and whatever else, you know, just look up Trav and Lois or look up Late Nights with Trav and Lois.
And Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I always forget the IG. So here's what we have, a little bit of a different take on Instagram. Hmm. You know, I'm not taking a picture of my food. I'm not taking a picture of my dog or my cat, you know, trying to make you swoon. What Lois and I do is for every episode that we make, we try to impress each other with like a little fun, you know, audio visual treat, which is like, you know, it's fun. Huh. So if you want like a little bit more, not a gag reel, but a, like a bonus scene or something, like on a movie.
It's like a,
that's how I think of it. It's mm-hmm. like a bonus footage or something.
Extra
like,
footage.
Extra, yeah, like extra content. Check us out on Instagram, and our name is Trav and Lois.
Thank you for listening to another episode and giving us your time. We will see you in a week.